So welcome to MASH Forever. My name is Carrie, and I am hosting this podcast about the best TV show ever in the history of television. And with me today is Dr. Rebecca Pettinger, and she's been a guest on the podcast before. So would you like to say hi, Becky, and introduce yourself a little bit?
Hi there, yeah. I'm Carrie's really good friend, or a really close friend. I don't know if I'm good, but I'm close.
One and the same.
Show going on just down the street, so if you hear airplane sounds, that's what it is.
Well, that's awesome. You didn't oh wow an air show that's cool very cool very nice that is very very cool And so Becky is coming to us from Santa Maria, California. That's northern Santa Barbara County, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And then I am in northern Vermont, so it is starting, leaves are starting to turn a bit where we are because of, I guess, we get leaves turning 3 weeks prior to southern areas of New England, mm-hmm. so, mm-hmm. yes, up near the Canadian border, we get more color sooner.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Well, actually, leaves have been starting to turn here on the very few leaves that do change color, just because it's been unseasonably cold, which here means in the 60s.
In the 60s, right. I think I was surprised. I was here Labor Day week, so September, 3rd or 4th, went out to my car, and there was frost on my car.
Wow.
This is too early for that, yes. Okay, so I thought for today we would do a kind of did you know kind of thing. And I looked up a bunch of facts about MASH that may or may not be known. Kind of a cool.
That sounds good.
So I just thought we would run through, like, I don't know, 25 or 30 pieces about the show that we may or may not have known about. So, first one, Alan Alda and Jamie Farr served in the U.S. Army. Did we know that?
Oh, okay. That rings a bell. That does ring a bell. I would, now, if someone had come up and asked me and said, did they serve in the Army, I might not have been able to say yes or no. But now that I hear about it, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yep. And I remember hearing about that, which I thought was really ironic. But then Mike mm-hmm. Farrell also served in the U.S. Marine Corps. And I had.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I had heard that one more recently. I've heard that. Mm-hmm. But according to the article I'm looking at, Alan Alda was in the Army Reserve for 6 months in Korea. Jamie Farr enlisted and was stationed in Japan when Red Skelton requested his service on his USO tour through Korea. Wayne Rogers joined the U.S. Navy for a time as a ship navigator, and Mike Farrell served in the U.S. Marine Corps.
Wow. That is so interesting, just to see, you know, I mean, like that particular group of characters, you know, who were, like,
right.
not thrilled about being in the Army.
Right.
They're real-life veterans. That's really interesting.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Wow. Wow, I would have, right, because it wasn't like Harry Morgan was in the Army, you know
right.
what I mean? Right, that would have.
Right, Harry Morgan or Larry Linville or
Loretta Swin. Oh, interesting, yeah. Okay, so next fact, McLean Stevenson auditioned for Hawkeye.
Oh my gosh, I didn't
get into
that, but that's really funny.
I knew that one, but. Yeah. And then it says, and I don't know who it is, Robert Klein.
Okay, that name also rings a bell. I'm probably going to be saying that a lot.
And
10 times.
And so yeah, he apparently turned down the role of Trapper.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Said Stevenson was convinced to take the role of Lieutenant Colonel Henry Blake. Instead, as for Klein, he denied a claim that he lived to regret the decision. But I can't imagine that you wouldn't regret being on the most popular show ever.
Right, exactly.
So who
Probably
knows?
Just to kind of save face.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, exactly. next fact. Larry Gelbart wrote the pilot in 2 days for $25,000.
Dang.
And 25,000 in 1971, 1972.
That is a huge amount of money. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that compares to.
That mean today? Yeah.
Yeah, but to write the pilot so quickly, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, kind of both. Like,
yeah.
Money and yeah.
Yeah. So it said the veteran screenwriter had been living in London after growing tired of Hollywood, but he couldn't pass up the opportunity to try to adapt Robert Altman's movie for television. Mm. Pretty That's good. Cool. Okay, now I'll be surprised if you don't know this fact.
Okay.
And it is Klinger was only supposed to be in one episode.
Okay, I know if I knew that fact.
It's all good.
No, that's funny though. That's that, you know, that's kind of, it's funny to think about how and I know, like, they're like, you know, in Star Trek, you know, like there was a character who was just kind of this no name guy who became a real character, and mm-hmm. and so that does happen in shows sometimes where, you know, and it seems like I can think of another example too where there was like, oh, this person's just going to be a side person, or yes. they're actually going to die or whatever, and then they're like, oh, people like them so much they stayed on. So yeah.
Well, you figure Frasier and Lilith on Cheers.
That's right. That's probably yes. I knew there was something on the tip of my mind, and I was like, I know I've heard about that.
Because Frasier came in, I think, just as a one time or one part of, you know, because he was with Diane there for a short time.
That's right.
You know, because mm-hmm. they could have easily written him off, and then Bebe Neuwirth as Lilith. She came in one season as his blind date, left him, and then came back the next season to start up again.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy when you look at it that way. So
funny, yeah.
Yeah. And then the story with Bebe Neuwirth, who played Lilith, is apparently she was just auditioning just for that one time, and then they liked her so much they brought her back, and then they liked her even more and they brought her on as a season regular.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That's so funny.
And she had no intention of leaving Broadway to do the role. So it's a little strange. Little strange. Okay. So next one. Only the network wanted the laugh track.
Oh, what was that?
Only the network of the show wanted the laugh track. So like CBS, if they were on CBS, they were on CBS at the end. I'm assuming CBS had them throughout.
I think so. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay.
So only CBS wanted it to have the laugh track.
Okay. So, gotcha. Yeah.
And that kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the UK, the BBC omitted the laugh track entirely.
Oh, no way. Now, that would be interesting to see that version without the laugh track.
Right, because when we watch it on Hulu, and there's no option. I don't think there's an option on Hulu.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need to look. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is so, yeah. No, that would be interesting to see because, mm-hmm. you know, in more contemporary shows, there's a lot of shows that are very funny but don't have laugh tracks, and it's kind of, hey, that's how it is. And
right.
So, yeah, I would be very interested to see how that would change the right experience.
yeah. Okay, CBS didn't want the one unpatriotic episode, an episode where soldiers were standing outside in the freezing cold so that they can make themselves sick enough to be sent home, was rejected by CBS. And that soldier tactic was apparently something that was actually used during the Korean War.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that one I thought was, yeah, very, very interesting. It'd be interesting to see if there was a show today, what they would do.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, mm-hmm. man, things have progressed a bit in terms of what you can even show on TV, much less.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. The writers came up with an ingenious way of dealing with script complaints. So after growing tired of having to listen to cast members' notes about scripts, some of the writers changed their script on two occasions so that the actors were forced to pretend it was parka weather on 90 to 100 degree days so it says they took the hint and the notes stopped. to complain about the scripts. And we've been there when it's 95 degrees. I can't even imagine wearing a parka when it's 95 degrees.
A big, nice down parka.
Oh, my.
Okay, yeah.
It is freaking hot there.
We sure have been there. It's been that
hot. 95. It was 95, I think, that one time we went, and it was like, mm-hmm. oh, my God. And there's not enough shade there to...
Mm-hmm.
I remember just dying, so I can't even imagine putting on a parka.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then I think I saw that they filmed, like, summer into fall there. And
okay.
if you mm-hmm. look at the scenery behind them, you can see it's more brown than green. So something for people to notice, like when you can tell they're filming at Malibu Creek State Park, it's browner grass.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of crazy because it's beautiful when it's green in the spring when we've been.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember the time we were
raining. Weather, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that time we went and all the wildflowers were out.
Oh, that was neat. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next one. Wayne Rogers was able to leave the show because he never signed a contract.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I take it you didn't know that one.
I didn't know that,
but I didn't know all the details. So here it says, and who knows, Rogers was threatened with a breach of contract lawsuit. The problem was that he had never signed a deal, objecting to the standard contract given to the TV actors when he started playing Trapper John, particularly the morals clause, which he considered antiquated. Rogers said that aside from missing the cast and friendships with Alan Alda in particular, he had no regrets about leaving the show after season 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, I knew this one. I'll be curious to hear if you know this one. Alda was the only actor who was aware of Henry Blake's fate until moments before shooting the final scene in Abyssinia, Henry.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, they wanted to, you know, so they decided to wait because they wanted to see, what was it? I had seen, and it doesn't say it here, but I had seen that they wanted to get the cast reactions,
mm-hmm.
like in the moment, which is what they did.
Yeah.
So what was it? So after distributing the script without the last page and shooting all the scenes, Gelbart asked the cast to wait a few minutes before the start of the end of season wrap party and gave them each one copy of the final page. Larry Linville immediately remarked that it was effing brilliant. Gary Berghoff turned to Stevenson and called him a son of a bitch because he was going to get an acting Emmy for the episode. He ended up not getting that. Then they shot at the scene in 2 takes.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah. And they got 1,000 letters from people upset over the ending, which I knew they got a lot of fan mail. I do remember that. Gene Reynolds also claimed that CBS was so unhappy with the decision that in at least one repeat airing, they cut out that final scene.
Oh, they did? Oh, my gosh.
That's trippy, you know, if you think about it.
And mm-hmm.
and I remember seeing an interview with Larry Gelbart, and he said, you know, the reason why they wanted to do it was not everybody goes home.
Yeah, exactly. And show, you know, and I think, I mean, it's as heartbreaking and as crushing as it is, you know, that happened. It is such a groundbreaking thing for TV and just showing, mm-hmm. hey, this is the nature of war. Like you say, not everyone goes home.
I did not know that. This next fact I did not know, but love to hear if it's actually real or not in terms mm-hmm. of, I've heard that they did this, but I didn't realize why. So if anyone knows, which Becky, I'll be curious to hear if you know this one, the writers ran out of names. During season 6, there's an episode that features 4 Marine patients named after the 1977 California Angels infield. Throughout season 7, the patients were named after the 1978 LA Dodgers. Ken Levine, I think it's Levine, didn't just use baseball players' names, though. In Goodbye Radar, Radar's new girlfriend was named after one of Levine's former lady friends, Patty Haven or Haven.
Okay. That's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
I didn't realize they ran out of names. I just heard that they had done it just because. I didn't realize there was a reason behind it. So I think we both know this fact. The series lasted much longer than the actual war.
Yes, I did know that. Yeah.
Alan Alda co-wrote 13 episodes and directed 31 episodes of the series.
I knew he had done that. I didn't know the exact number.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Me too. Let's see here. What is it? Lots of future stars made guest appearances. So here it says Ron Howard, Leslie Nielsen, Patrick Swayze, Lawrence Fishburne, John Ritter, Pat Morita, Rita Wilson, George Wendt, Shelley Long, Ed Begley Jr., Terry Garr, and even Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah. No, I remember a fair amount of those episodes that you just named off. I was like, it's kind of a trip to think about, like, oh my gosh.
You know, and I didn't realize it at the time, but George Wendt and Shelley Long from Cheers, I didn't realize they had both been on the show.
Yeah, I knew George Wendt had been on it because he got the pool ball stuck in his mouth. Charles. You'll have a pool ball.
I can't do this. Could that be your age? Oh my gosh. I think you know this. The series finale is still the most watched episode of television in American history.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Crazy, crazy. This article is estimating 121 million people. I had thought it was 106, but.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Either way. A company only had to pay $30,000 to run a 30-second commercial when MASH started in 1972. In the series finale, a 30-second spot cost $450,000.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. Okay, there were 3 spinoffs.
Okay. Trapper John, MD.
Yep.
After MASH.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure the third one.
I would not have known this had I not followed MASH on Facebook, but Walter, Gary Berghoff, had a pilot episode with his character.
Oh, no way. Okay, wow.
Only aired one time, and I don't remember it airing, but one time. And I think you can find it on, like, YouTube. We'll have to watch it when I come out there again someday.
For sure. Oh, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. Now, this is saying Radar's teddy bear was sold and returned to Gary Berghoff. But I thought I had heard that he no longer has possession of it.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know for sure. So that's another fascinating fact. And a construction worker found the show's time capsule almost immediately.
Oh, okay. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So the characters bury the time capsule under the Fox Ranch. 2 months later, the land was sold. Soon after, a construction worker found the capsule and got in touch with Alan Alda, asked what he should do with it. Alan Alda claimed, after he was told to keep it, Alan Alda claimed the construction worker didn't seem that impressed.
Oh.
And all of us are going, no, we needed to find that.
Oh, God, I know. Seriously, oh my God.
Like really? Like, what? Okay, so let's see. We got a few more to do today. Do you have a few more minutes, Becky?
I do have a few more minutes.
Okay, this is awesome. Okay, hold on 1 second. So we got a few more here. We are going to, let's see here. What does MASH stand for?
Mobile Army Surgical Hospital.
All right. There we go. Okay. Let's see here. And then, what year did the MASH movie come out?
Oh, the MASH movie. I do not know. I won't even try to guess.
Okay. 70. So 1970.
Oh, 70. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should watch that sometime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should watch it. Yeah, I watched it years and years ago. Yeah.
But it's really cool because they show, like, at the very beginning, they show a lot more of the mountains in Malibu Creek State Park. That's beautiful. Oh. Beautiful scenery. Absolutely beautiful.
Oh, that's cool. That yeah. Cool. Yeah, no, it's beautiful. If you ever get a chance to go yeah. there, it's breathtaking, literally. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And you used to live near there, too. Not
I
far.
I know. I used to be a half-hour drive or something.
Like, oh. Okay. And let's see here. MASH almost didn't survive in its first season.
Yes, yes. I do believe that does ring a bell. Mm-hmm. I think I remember seeing that somewhere. So, yeah.
Yep, yep. So apparently they, so early on, it looks like, let's see here, Saturday night, it was on Saturday nights. Mm-hmm. So they had All in the Family, MASH, the Mary Tyler Moore Show, the Bob Newhart Show, and the Carol Burnett Show.
Yeah. Like my parents would talk about how that was just the best night on TV ever.
Yeah.
You know, just because of that lineup that you mentioned, it's just, it was like everyone, no, like, I think as I recall, and I might be misquoting them, yep. but I remember my folks talking about how, like, no one was like going out or doing anything on that night, you know, the week, you know, even though, you know, it's kind of a time when people would go out and party or
right.
whatever. It's just like, no, we're all home watching TV. Oh, it's great shows.
I believe it. I believe it. Let's see here. Second season landed MASH in the top 10.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
No surprise.
Yeah, and though it moved to Monday or Tuesday for the rest of its run, it never placed outside the top 20. Mm. So mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. Let's see here. Next one is, let's see here. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. The theme song, Suicide is Painless, was written for the 1970 movie by Johnny Mandel and Michael Altman, the director's 15-year-old son.
Oh, okay.
Pretty good, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. So, let's see here. It should be the stupidest song ever written, Mandel recalled Altman telling him. And then I said, oh, well, I can do stupid. Altman took a stab at writing the lyrics, but it just wasn't stupid enough. Altman said, oh, but now all is lost. I've got a 15-year-old kid who's a glibbering idiot. He's got a guitar. He'll run through this thing like a dose of salts. So.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't realize it was supposed to be stupid because I always thought it was like, wow, this is such a
profound song.
Poignant song, or you know, just so dark and serious.
Yes.
Like, dang, I mean, someone considering suicide.
Yes.
Oh
my god. Okay. Alan Alda was the only character on the TV series to appear in every episode. Yeah, I knew that one. This is interesting. Robert Altman always claimed he made $70,000 for directing the movie, but his kid made more than $1 million from the song.
Oh, no way. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
I thought that was, yeah, yeah. Let's see here. Next one. Oh, here we go. Hawkeye came from the fictional town of Crabapple Cove, Maine, which suggests that had a murder occurred there, he may have been able to enlist the help of Murder, She Wrote, Jessica Fletcher from Cabot Cove, Maine, to crack the case.
Oh.
For Murder, She Wrote. Do you remember? Do you ever watch that? Did you ever watch Murder, She Wrote?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You froze up for a second.
Oh.
Yes, I did. I did as a kid pretty religiously, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so sorry about that. And to let everybody know, we are doing this over Zoom, so it could get glitchy. Okay, next one here. I want to, let's see here. Oh, here we go. Viewers were not happy at all that the show killed Henry, and the controversy we just talked about. You know, with them getting letters in the mail saying that wasn't okay. So much so, in fact, that soon after Stevenson appeared on the Cher show in costume as Blake and rowing an inflatable raft saying, hey guys, I'm okay.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I'll just send that to you. I'll send you the link to that. I'll post that link too in the show notes of this episode. Let's see here.
I'd love to see that. Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah, it's cute.
I wouldn't mind having a nice little happy ending.
Yeah, a little happy ending. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, actor Harry Morgan as Colonel Potter replaced Blake as commanding officer, played by Harry Morgan, who had appeared as a different character in an earlier episode. He was a straight shooter like his earlier role as Officer Bill Gannon on Dragnet. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, Harry Morgan came in as General Steele and then was Colonel Potter. And yes. Then I never saw Dragnet, the show that he was in way back when.
I think I saw either parts of episodes or maybe whole ones when I was like a kid. Yeah. At my grandparents' house in Wisconsin. I remember they had like a show, like a, I think it was Nickelodeon, Nick at Night, old shows and things. So yeah.
And let's see here. Next one is, let's see here. Gary Berghoff was the only significant actor to reprise their role in the TV show from the movie. And there were...
Oh, yes. Yes. I had heard about that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there were another couple of actors that were in the movie that ended up in the TV show briefly. But I can't think of who right now. So we'll just let that go there. Anyway, okay, so let's see here. Oh, Tony Packo's Klinger often mentioned his love for Hungarian hot dogs at Tony Packo's in his hometown of Toledo. The real restaurant has been in business since 1932.
Oh, that's cool. Oh my gosh.
yeah I went there in 2005. Five pictures from Tony Packo's. It's kind of fun.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Nice.
Let's see here. Next one is, we talked about that. Here we go. Location shoots were done at 20th Century Fox Ranch, owned by 20th Century Fox Studios, which today is Malibu Creek State Park. The original sets burned as MASH was up, finished its run, but some restoration was done 15 years ago, and it's an easy hike out to the site. Mm-hmm. We know that. We've done that. It's relatively easy. Yeah.
Yeah, relatively. Yeah, it's long, but it's there's hills here and there, but it's doable for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. And we were here, you'll know this fact, actor Jeff Maxwell was scheduled to be part of the 50th anniversary celebration at the site on September 17th. Mm-hmm. We were there.
We were there.
That was fun. And we met, what's her name, who played Rosie?
Oh, yeah. Elaine. Her name is slipping my mind. She was the sweetest. Oh, my gosh. She was so nice.
She
oh
was.
My gosh.
She was. And we were really, really glad. Elaine Saki, I think.
That's her name. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she unfortunately passed away not even a year after that. So.
Yeah. Because I think she, at that point, she had already been diagnosed with cancer. Yeah.
So that was a cool day, though. It was neat to see so many MASH people and yeah.
It was super neat. Yeah.
Yeah. We were hoping for other stars to wander through, but they didn't. So really, really hoping. Okay, here we go. You can talk about this. The series finale, Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen, a 2.5-hour episode aired February 28th, 1983, though not in the Bay Area in California, where a power outage deprived thousands of a chance to see the finale.
Yep, and there was also a power outage on the Central Coast of California that very night. So me and my family didn't get to see it either. So we were all it was like literally the next day, me and the other kids at the bus stop, we were all talking about how we missed it. And like, no, the stupid power outage. And then when they re-aired it, we were like, everyone was like, oh my God, thank God. So yes.
When did you get to see it? Do you know? Do you remember? When did you get to see it?
Gosh, I think it was, when was it? It was not long after. I mean, I think
okay,
it was
good.
Either the following week or.
Oh, good.
It might have been something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Because just to let the people know, not people, but just to let everyone know that back in 1983, if you missed something on TV, you had to wait for it to be aired again. You couldn't just click on your TV and on demand.
No, you could not do that. Oh my gosh, it's so different now.
was a big deal that you all missed it.
It was a really big deal. I think we did have a VCR by that point, but, you know, of course you can't record it in a power outage. But
right,
yeah.
You can't record it in a power outage. Correct. So.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Next one from 1983 till 2010. Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen remain the most watched television broadcast in American history. It was finally passed in total viewership in February of 2010 by the Super Bowl that year. Though it remains the most watched finale of any television series.
Okay. Wow, I'm trying to think who was playing Super Bowl in 2010. I don't remember.
No idea. I used to work for people that went to the Super Bowl in the 90s, so I might have a better shot at saying who was in the 90s. But
yeah.
Okay. Next one we are going to do. Here we go. Last one we'll do for today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Oh, interesting. So this is very interesting. Huh. No. Okay, it was not a success. In 2002, TV Guide ranked it as the this article is claiming it was not a success. In 2002, TV Guide ranked it as the seventh worst TV show of all time. Between 2002 Fox series Celebrity Boxing, which pit notables such as Vanilla Ice, Tanya Harding, and former sitcom stars in the ring to slug it out, and Cop Rock, the musical police show.
I heard of that, yeah.
I did not know that it was ranked the seventh worst show of all time in 2002.
Why?
No idea. It doesn't say, but I can't even fathom that. Like, I just can't.
That is really hard to fathom. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do this could be the last one. Alan Alda had the biggest haul with 5 Emmys, 3 for acting, one each for directing and writing. At the time, he was the first ever to win Emmys for acting, directing, and writing on a series.
Oh, that's very cool. I did not know that, but he's an impressive man for sure.
yeah. And I will end with him because I really think like it's interesting because I remember him just being more popular than sliced bread back then. Like
mm-hmm.
everybody either wanted to date him, wanted him as their father, wanted, you know, whatever. And it's amazing that he was that popular back. I can't think of a celebrity that's that popular today.
Yeah, no, I can't either. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe Robin Williams or maybe Tom Hanks or maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody that would be that popular. So anyway, so that was cool. So thank you for doing that with me today.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Anything else you want to share that you learned about or anything before we end today?
I learned a number of different things. I mean, it was cool to hear about who all actually served in the armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised about that article that said it was the seventh worst. I'm like, what?
I'm going to have to look that up. I want to look that up and see if that's true, but I can't even imagine that.
Really weird. Yeah, and I do want to catch that pilot of Walter to see what that was all about.
Yeah. Definitely. So I will sign off here, and hopefully you can catch us again during our next podcast. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.